Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hello, and welcome to the Tracy Sandler Show, brought to you by FIVO. I am your host, Tracy Sandler, and I am nothing short of thrilled. I'm going to go with the word thrilled to welcome back NFL Network Steve Weiss to the show. Steve, you were, I believe, one of my first or second guests when this show premiered. I'm going with premiered. We're going to make this very dramatic. And I'm so excited to have you back for, I believe, your third appearance.
I did not know that I was like one of your, inaugural guests. And now I'm even beyond flattered. I'm always very grateful to be asked to come on. But wow, I feel special, Tracy.
You are special, Steve. So yay. Well, we have a big game to talk about Monday night. It is the Rams, the 49ers, Monday Night Football at Levi's Stadium. The 49ers are 1-2 and struggling. Incredible defense, not so great on the offensive side of the ball, no matter who has been at quarterback. So I think that's kind of an important thing to talk about, and we'll get into that a little bit more. The Rams doing a little better, not exactly lighting the world on fire, but doing better. I don't want to go too deep into this because they're different seasons and different situations, but last year the 49ers at 3-5, the season really on the brink of just being a disaster and over. Meet the Rams at Levi's Stadium for Monday Night Football, just, you know, totally annihilate them.
Yeah, Debo Samuel goes absolutely nuts.
And it was crazy. Turns their entire season around. We're not quite there yet. We're in week four. They're 1-2. But I guess let's start a little bit with the 49ers offensive issues, because you know, you and I were talking a little bit before we came on. To me, it's less about the record. I mean, they're 1-2. It's week four. Like, fine. It's more about the performance on the offensive side of the ball, especially when you have a defense that's playing at such a stellar level.
Yeah, I mean, look, the quarterback issue is what it was. Everyone knew when Trey Lance started, there was going to be a learning curve. And you saw that right out of the gate. Teams were like, we're going to take Debo Samuel out of the game as a receiver and a runner. Okay, what else do you got? You know, because George Kittle was hurt, right? He wasn't in the lineup early on. So they really had no left hand to go to. They were shooting nothing but right-handed layups, and defenses were stopping him. So then he gets hurt. Jimmy Garoppolo comes in, and Jimmy looks fantastic in relief, right? He is that backup point guard who's coming in to ask to play extended minutes, eager to come in and show the world something, probably run just a very basic set of plays, but they've run them highly effectively because everybody else steps up. Then in week three, they're playing a very, very good Denver defense. Jimmy looks completely lost because, once again, what did they do? They took out Debo Samuel. Debo couldn't run the ball. Jimmy did not have time to throw it. And then Trent Williams gets hurt at left tackle, which was brutal. I mean, that is a brutal situation. The initial backup they put in clearly had no idea what to do, so they had to go to their third offensive tackle, and that was a wrap. You know, so I don't think the Niners are far away. The injuries along the offensive line are a concern. But I think Jimmy will be a lot better against the Rams. He's had some great games against the Rams. I think the familiarity of some of the things they're doing with the defensive scheme will help. And just kind of that inherent rivalry that they have will have everybody else raising their games a little bit on both sides of the ball. So I would expect a better overall performance out of the Niners. Does that result in the W? We'll see. But we do know that they do tend to have the advantage over the Rams, you know, with the final two games of the final two meetings of last year. Kind of got to pitch those out of the window in that regard.
BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports, contests, and events with first-to-market odds and lines. Find reviews and news for every league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all your sports information, from live in-game betting, props, and futures. Head to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to join today and make your first sports bet. Use our promo code BELIEVE50 to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, where the game starts. And the NFC Championship game, I think you could make the argument that they did play better than the Rams. They just had a couple of plays not go their way, and the Rams won. Turnovers. That is, you know, what it comes down to. And I think that's worth talking about when you look at Sunday night. There's the offensive line issues, which have been an issue all season. You know, the first couple weeks, this interior of the offensive line that everyone was so concerned about looked okay. Then you get against this Denver defense, which was, you know, just a completely different game. And then turnovers. You have an interception. You have two fumbles. And then, of course, really, it comes down to that safety. That's not something that, in theory, you're going to be seeing every week. So I don't know that there's much more to discuss there. Let me tell you, they're going to have a safety every week. It is going to be a long 14 more weeks going on here in Santa Clara. Let me tell you that. But that play, of course, is a disaster. You have the safety, the pick six that gets called back, and that's where Trent Williams gets hurt. And so let's start there. Trent Williams, obviously the best left tackle in the league. Many of his teammates call him the best player in the league. They'll probably end up with Colton McKivitz. No offense to Colton McKivitz, who actually did a yeoman's job in week 18 when the 49ers did win that game to go to the playoffs. But he's not Trent Williams. This makes George Kittle, of course, a bigger part of the blocking game. It's not just losing Trent Williams. It's what it does all the way down and the domino effect. So we saw the other night, Jimmy Garoppolo had very little time to throw. What happens this week and how can they counteract that?
Well, I mean, look, the one thing, since the Rams don't have Von Miller, is their pass rush has not been the same, right? Leonard Floyd's a good player, but he's got a banged up knee, and Aaron Donald is Aaron Donald. And you know the Niners are going to commit at least two bodies to him at all times. So the other players have got to step up. And Terrell Lewis, you know, a talented third or fourth year player, he showed up some against Arizona. So if he shows up, then that's going to be an issue. So it's going to be a quick passing game. And it's going to be the run game. I mean, the one thing the Niners have done successfully, regardless of the outcome, is run the ball well against the Rams. That's one of the reasons why the Rams went out and got Bobby Wagner, who comes over from Seattle. He's familiar with the scheme. He's very good against the run. He's had a very good season thus far. So we'll see if they're able to kind of get that going. I mean, look, if the Niners can run the ball, that will alleviate a lot of the issues in terms of protection. Simple football, but we hear Kyle Shanahan talk about it. We hear Sean McVay talk about it. On the early downs, if you can run the football and get at least 4 to 5 yards, so you're at least second and six negative, like, you know, 5.5, whatever, instead of second and six plus, you got a lot more options. So I do think, you know, the Niners are going to make the commitment to run. I think you'll probably see a lot of two back, two tight end sets, single wide receiver. You know, Kyle always mixes it up, but the 49ers are not afraid to bang. They are not afraid to bang with the Rams. And I think that's what you're going to try to see early on. The key is they just cannot fall too far behind. And I wouldn't think that would be the case the way that Niners defense is playing.
I would agree with that. You know, running the football kind of brings me to my next question. So thank you for that beautiful segue there. But, you know, running the football is 100% what they're going to need to do and be successful at it. Easier said than done. They don't have Elijah Mitchell. So, you know, Jeff Wilson is who we've seen in RB1. They don't have Ty Davis Price. So you've got basically Jeff Wilson Jr., Marlon Mack, the rookie Jordan Mason, of course, Kyle Juszczyk at fullback. But as you said earlier, Deebo Samuel has really been taken out of the game in that role. And it's going to be interesting to see throughout the season. I don't know that the 49ers are going to be able to get it back because now everybody knows, and it's going to be hard to do that. So it will be kind of interesting to see, but that will be the key to the game. And Kyle Shanahan always says it. They want to run the ball, you know, 30 or more times. You can't always do that, but that is the key to success for this offense.
Yeah, but Kyle's so creative with what he'll do. That's true. I mean, he'll do some things like get the defense on his heels by getting Juszczyk, you know, play action, then dump it off 8 yards down the field. And then, you know, Kyle's good for another 5 yards after. He'll do some things to kind of disrupt keys. You know, I'll never forget one thing Richard Sherman, when he was still in Seattle, told me about Kyle. He's like, Kyle understands not only the principles of the opposing defense, but the integrity of what that defense wants to do. And every play when he lines guys up, right? He'll come out with a formation to really stress every player's integrity. Like, okay, I know on this play, I'm supposed to get the back. If he comes out of the backfield, but the way this is set up, I've got to get the slot receiver if mm-hmm. he goes into this part of the zone. So I think Kyle is going to do some things to really stress the integrity of what the Rams are doing. I mean, the Rams got several corners who are down. So they mm-hmm. might have to play three safeties, right? They may have to do some things that Kyle will steadily take advantage of. And I do expect Deebo Samuel to be a big part of this game. Because remember last year, and I believe it was the playoff game, it might have been the Week 18 game, where Deebo was doing a lot of wide sweep stuff. And, you know, the Rams mm-hmm. initially were coming up Jalen Ramsey like a bat out of hell, smacking his, you know, smacking Deebo in the mouth. And then Deebo just drops the pass over his head a little bit later for a touchdown. Mm-hmm. So I think there's going to be some creative things from the Niners offense early on to try to not only extend some drives, but to get some touchdowns. It just happens every time these two teams play.
It's true. And Kyle Shanahan does seem to be in his bag whenever he plays the Rams. I mean, it's like the best of Kyle Shanahan seems to absolutely come out. And I'm glad you brought up Kyle Shanahan. He's obviously under fire this week. I mean, I'm going to say he's under fire on Twitter, which is not a real place. And he is not under fire. He is not.
Yeah,
sorry, guys.
Stupid.
He's not on the hot seat. Like he's fine. And it's ridiculous. But I'm glad you brought this up because it is ridiculous. And you do have one of the more creative coaches in the league. And it's just people have to calm down. In the words of the great Taylor Swift, I said that earlier this week on the podcast. But I mean, everybody needs to calm down. You know, like it's just it's kind of crazy. But I think we will see that creativity and then everybody will love him again. All of a sudden, he'll be a genius again.
Here's the easy retort to all of that stupidness, Tracy. Okay, let him go somewhere else.
And who are you going to get that's better?
That's it. Mm-hmm. Okay, Sean McVay's mm-hmm. not going up there. Rams are letting him go.
Nope.
All right, so who you got? Let him go somewhere else. Let him get with Joey Burrow, right? Let him get with Lamar Jack. Okay.
Sure. Yeah.
Fine. You don't want him. You're disappointed. Okay. Go get somebody else. Good luck with that one.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Who are you going to find that's better? Nobody. Definitely nobody. So I'm glad. Well, we solved that. We can we can nip that in the bud now. We can have some nip that in the bud. So let's talk a little bit about this 49ers defense and let's talk about turnovers because, you know, as stellar as they played, it was the 49ers committed three turnovers. They did not themselves get any turnovers. So that, of course, was the story. That and the safety were the story of the game the other night. And it's always going to be the turnover battle. I mean, that's usually there, except there was a game in 2019 where the 49ers played the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I believe there were five turnovers, the 49ers, and they still somehow ran the game. But that is the exception, not the rule. So we'll start with that. But this 49ers defense has been incredible. But what do they need to do? I mean, Matthew Stafford, I'm going to say he loves throwing interceptions. He doesn't, but he's interception prone. We'll say that. He's not playing at the level. You know, there's usually good for one. He's not playing maybe at the level that we have seen in the last, you know, year or so. And we'll see how much that elbow injury becomes an issue as the season goes on. But what does this 49ers team need to do to be better at creating turnovers and winning that battle? And I almost hate to even say this because the defense has just been so good that I don't know what they need to do to improve. But
yeah, I mean,
maybe we'll give the offense a break.
I mean, I look at that Denver game. It's like, when did they have an opportunity? It was three and out. It was just a punt fest, right? You know, mm-hmm. and when Russell was throwing the ball, he was off the mark most of the time. So it wasn't like they had a ton of opportunities, maybe punching the ball out. I mean, but that's easier said than done. They'll have some opportunities this game because, you know, like both these quarterbacks will give you an opportunity. Both Jimmy G and Matthew Stafford. We'll put a one or two in the air a game where you've got an opportunity to pick it. You know, the key for this defense, you know, is to get the Rams, as we just talked about, in second and six plus,
mm-hmm.
you know, kind of forcing them to throw. Now, what's been interesting, the Rams the past two games, is Sean McVay has finally taken a page out of the Kyle Shanahan book and started using a fullback.
Mm-hmm.
But the fullback is a wide receiver named Ben Skowronek. So technically, they are still in their 11 personnel, which is one tailback, one tight end, three wide. But they mm-hmm. motion one of those wide receivers, Skowronek, who's about 225 and has, you know, a complete linebacker's mentality, to come in there and play the Kyle Juszczyk role. They use them in the same way as a lead blocker, or they'll give him a play action, slip him out, and throw him the ball. So these are some things that Sean has planted the past 2 weeks now that the Niners have to game plan for. So when they see this look 8, 10, 12 times a game, okay, is it a run situation or second and five and in, or could they possibly release him in coverage? So you have to kind of commit to that guy, which is going to leave one of those, you know, Cam Akers and Daryl Henderson, who are very good in the run and pass games, mm-hmm. as a threat to occupy a safety or something. So the gamesmanship has begun without the snap mm-hmm. being taken. So the key for the 49ers is just not to let the Rams get in favorable second down and distance. That is the, again, it is a basic coach speak topic, but when these two teams play, that's really what it comes down to. And if the Niners can keep them in second and long to kind of force the passing game, then what are the Rams going to do? Because they still have yet to kind of fully figure out how to incorporate Allen Robinson. He got more touches last week, but he has not been incorporated like a Robert Woods was or like an Odell Beckham mm-hmm. was. That's still mm-hmm. a work in progress. And to kind of to that point, Tracy, you know, you said the Rams, you know, Matthew Stafford, these guys haven't looked great. This is how the Rams look every year. They just tend to start up better because they may open up against a team like the Bears and not the Buffalo Bills. And right. so that's kind of why they don't look all that great, because they try to peak in December and not September. Same with the Niners.
And that's why I think people, it is amazing to me how everyone is talking about how the sky is falling, because again, this was a team that was 3-5 and it was basically over and came back and ended up in the NFC Championship game. So I don't know that the sky is ever falling. No. And I think every year feels so dramatic and like it's all a disaster and all of that, but it's football. And, you know, you say the record, them being 1-2, it doesn't even sound that bad. But like I said at the top of the show, it's really kind of what we've seen on offense that is more concerning. And can they correct that? I agree with you. Jimmy will get better. And I do think there's something to be said for the fact that he had shoulder surgery, no OTAs, no training camp, and he had been the backup quarterback. And so he hadn't been the starter. And I see a yes. lot of argument of, but yeah, but this is the offense he's been running for 5 years, but it doesn't matter. You still be in game shape. You still need to get chemistry with the people you're throwing the ball to. You still need to have time to throw the ball. So it doesn't matter. And I think everybody needs to just, you know, give it a beat. They have the Rams, then they have the Panthers, they have the Falcons, and then they have the Chiefs, and then they have the Rams again. So over these next several weeks, we'll see him get better. We'll see the offense get better. They can squeak out 2 or 3 wins. I believe they're in pretty good shape. Moving in, then they have their bye week.
And Tracy, let's not forget, George Kittle has not been 100% yet. Right.
Yes, correct.
So you got to get the George Kittle factor incorporated into everything as well. Once he gets going, like they'll kind of figure out ways to manipulate this offensive line. It is, they are going to have their issues, right? But they'll mm-hmm. find ways to manipulate right. it. They'll go too tight. You know, they use Kittle as a primary blocker or another tight end as a primary blocker sometimes, but they'll get it going. I mean, that's just how come, like right now we're having this debate, are the Eagles or the Dolphins the best team in the NFL? I'm like, talk to me in November.
Right.
I mean, there's always these teams that come out like gangbusters, and it's very hard to go wire to wire. Right. We mm-hmm. see it every year. And then some teams just kind of hanging around. And then in early December, they're the proverbial, this is the team you don't want to be playing right now. And it seems like every other year, that's the 49ers.
I think that's true. I mean, it really is true, because it's funny. And, you know, in 2017, which was obviously very much the rebuild, I don't think rebuilding is even the right term. It was a complete culture shift and change right. of everything, and everyone had bought in. But in December, when Jimmy Garoppolo came in and they did go on that 5-game win streak, nobody wanted to play them. And you had teams like the Jaguars going to the playoffs who lost to them. You had teams that were affected by the 49ers in 2018 injuries, 2019, nobody wanted to play them all year because they were pretty much beating everybody. But, you know, even in 2020, you know, who knows. But last year, I think they fit that, and going to the playoffs, nobody wanted to play them. And it, right, they went into Dallas and Green Bay and won. So, you know, we are still early. This will be our first game of October for the 49ers, but it is only week 4 and a long, long way to go. So, you know, but I do think, and I don't want to over dramatize it, but I do think this game becomes very important from you want to see improvement from the offense. You want the defense to continue to play well. And I also almost think from a kind of team perspective, at a certain point, it's got to take its toll if you've got a defense that's playing lights out every week and the offense just can't score points. And I imagine that's got to mentally take its toll. And I don't know what that does behind the scenes. And again, I don't want to start controversy or be overly dramatic, but it would be a good thing if all around, if the 49ers can actually get some points on the board.
Yeah, you know, I don't think that would affect the 49ers. I mean, the culture up there is really different, right? They have a very special mm-hmm. culture. I'm in most locker rooms, right? Mm-hmm. And with some teams, that would absolutely impact them. Like at some point in Denver, if they don't get this offense going, you're going to have dudes like, we paid all this guy all this money. We've got all these wide receivers and these running backs and so on, and they can't score. So is it the mm-hmm. offense or is it the coach? I mean, there's going to be people asking those questions. I don't see that happening with the 49ers because, one, most of this nucleus has been together for a very long time. That's two, true. This is how it is because everyone prepared for the season knowing that Trey Lance was going to be the starter. That was the game plan anyway. The defense is what was going to be the glue for this team to succeed. So, again, I just don't think if it takes a while for this offense to get going that everyone's going to be like, our guys in the defense can be like, damn, this offense is killing us. You know, they're asking us to bail them out every game. Because I'll tell you this, the mindset of a defensive player, go 3 and out because I want to get back on the field.
Right.
I mean, it's you want to play as many snaps as you possibly can. Now, at some point, you know, you do have to score.
But right. It's more about the fact that you do need to score points to win the game.
Correct.
That becomes, of course, the bigger issue. I am no expert, but if there's one thing I know, it is that.
You gotta score points. And look, you know, people... We talk about scoring points. Everyone talks about, last year in 2021, the Cowboys scored more points than anybody else. You know where like 7 or 8 of their touchdowns came from? Defense and special teams. Mm-hmm. You know, so the offense was good, but it wasn't lights out like people think it is if they just read the stat sheet. So if the Niners can get their hands on some balls, and they will. I mean, that defensive front, Chris Kocurek, their D-line coach, my God. You know, whenever Armstead comes back, it's only going to make things better. So... you know, that part is going to come. They get Al-Jair back, you know, whenever. He's going to make it better because mm-hmm. that linebacking crew is as special as it gets. I mean, I love Fred Warner, Al-Jair, and Greenlaw. So, you know, that part is not – that's going to stay solid. You know, unless they have some injuries, that part's not going to go away.
And they have a much, much better secondary, and the yep. addition of Charvarius Ward was
Ward is fantastic.
Huge for the team. I mean, he's a fantastic player, and just watching him on the field and everything that he does and where he is, I mean, it's just next level from anything that they've been used to for some time now. You brought up Eric Armstead, so I'll give everybody an update from Thursday's practice. He did not play. He's still out, but Kyle Shanahan said he's hopeful he'll be back. We talked a lot about the offensive line. Maybe some good news coming. Daniel Brunskill was at least at practice on a limited basis for the first time this season. So some progress there. So there's my good news treat for the day. Who would have thought that, no disrespect to Daniel Brunskill, who's been great for this team, but that's my good news treat for the day is that Daniel Brunskill was limited in practice. Hey. But that matters.
We'll
and it really matters now. So it becomes a very, very big deal. So that's kind of where we're at. And you're right with that defense. I mean, they are absolutely incredible. And I think the secondary, too, we haven't even seen them as good as they've been. You know, they're playing together for the first time. This is their first few games together. So we're going to see that get better and better. And so, you know, and this is a good opportunity for turnovers for both teams. As we said, both quarterbacks are a little interception happy. And this would be a great one for the Niners to come up with a couple of Matthew Stafford.
Real quick on the secondary. Please. I mean, Emmanuel Mosley's been a pretty good player, but what he's playing like right now, I mean, mm-hmm. he's coming up and he's rocking guys. He's always around the ball. And again, I think it's a function of the entire defense, but the development, you know, D'Amico Ryans and the other end coaches, the development of players on that defense, it is hard to develop guys mm-hmm. in the NFL once the season starts. And the continued growth you've seen out of some of these players, you know, that coaching staff is as good as it gets. And I mean, I know they've churned through some guys, but when you see some of these guys playing like this, you know, props to them.
And kind of, you know, on Emmanuel Mosley, first of all, I'm going to do a shameless plug. I have a story on Emmanuel Mosley and Juwan Jennings coming out Monday morning. So make sure everybody read it. They were teammates at Tennessee, and they both kind of coming into the league long shots. So you guys make sure to read that. But I think it's worth mentioning Emmanuel Moseley was an undrafted free agent who made the team because he could play defense and he could play special teams. He gets hurt on like the third play of his first game, and he's out the rest of the season. But that's incredible. And I think it's worth mentioning Charvarius Ward, although the 49ers didn't develop him, he was also an undrafted free agent. So I just like mentioning that generally because you've got two pretty tremendous players at corner. And I think in terms of talent scouting and even for the 49ers to look at Charvarius Ward, who's probably a top six corner in the league, and pay him the money and bring him in, you know, I think there's something to be said for that because they also get a lot of flack on drafting and not being able to scout talent. That's my Twitter voice. They can't scout. There's my Twitter voice, which I disagree with.
Yeah, they've got so many bad players on their team.
Oh yeah, it's terrible.
I guess he's the same people who are saying that Kyle should be fired, right?
Oh, it's definitely the same people. I think they're on a list. I think there's some kind of Twitter list of takes that don't make sense.
Have you checked to see if their IP addresses are coming from LA, Seattle, and Arizona?
Exactly. It's like the tickets last year for the NFC Championship game. Okay. It's the same people for sure. It's definitely the same people. All right. So, Steve, I'm going to say prediction time. I'm going to put you on the hot. I'll do it too. I'm so bad at score predictions. Like, I'm embarrassingly bad at it, but I do it as well because I feel like I should be in lockstep with my guests. So I'll let you go first. But who do you think wins this game?
I'm going to say the Rams get it 24-21, and this is where the Trent Williams loss pays in. We see Aaron Donald has come up clutch against these guys at the end of games a couple times, and I think he's going to be right there again.
I've been going back and forth on this a lot. I really have. I've been going back and forth. There's a big part of me that feels they're going to win this game and then lose to the Panthers and the Falcons. Just kidding. That would be terrible, but I could see it happening.
On the Falcons now.
Well, that's why I'm saying I think they're going to win this game. And that's why I'm telling you, it would be very on brand. And I think you can't sleep on the Falcons, and they'll have had a long road trip and the whole thing. But I think because I have a lot of 49ers fans that listen, and because I said all those mean things about Twitter, I'm going to go ahead and give the 49ers the win 21-20. And you're welcome, guys. I don't know if this actually happens.
Now you got them going 14-2, right?
Yeah. No. Oh, no. I definitely don't. I think this is a 10-win team. Would be is my feeling on that. Sorry, guys. I know I gave them such a gift to 49ers fans.
We'll see.
See? Well, there you go. So I'm so optimistic about this, but we'll see.
Come November, man. The two teams playing Sunday night are going to be rocking and rolling.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, that is going to be a game. Well, maybe we'll have to have you back on to talk about that other LA team in the game in November. Steve, thank you so much for joining me. Please remind everybody where they can find you on social and beyond.
Yep, Twitter and IG at Weich, WYCHE89. Those are the numerals, Weich89, NFL Network, daily, pretty much daily on NFL Now from 10 to 12 Pacific time, and typically on game day mornings, except the next two Sundays, because we're going to be over in England and kickoff's going to be starting at 6:30 Pacific time in the morning. So we've got no show.
Yeah, that's just much too early for anybody. That's silly. So that's my feeling on that.
It's awesome. Too early for you.
That's true. There's football all day long. And actually, this week, I get to enjoy that because 4 hours are Monday night. So I actually get a Sunday of football.
There you go.
Maybe I'll get myself up at 6:30, get some coffee, and watch some football in London. Yay. Watch the Saints and the Vikings, right? I think I will. I'll make sure to document it on the gram. All right, guys, if you like what you heard, and I know you did, please make sure to leave us a 5-star review. Follow us on Instagram at Fangirl Sports Network. We are brought to you by FIVO. We are brought to you by Bet Online. And I'll talk to everybody next week. We'll see which one of us was right. Bye, y'all.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.